Chapter 4 Nick answered the call on his cell phone. He didn't recognize the number, but he immediately knew his father's voice. "We have to stop meeting this way, Nick." "Where are you?" Nick asked. "I'm on the run," his father said, "apparently being hunted by my own son." Nick was standing on the sidewalk outside the pub, watching the stretchers roll by, each one carrying a black body bag. "Interpol says you're working for some seriously bad people," Nick said.
"I don't care what they think," Quentin said.
"What do you think?"
"I think you're in a lot of trouble. I can help you."
A moment of silence passed.
"What happened to Ducky?"
Quentin asked. "And the professor?"
"The captain is in surgery. He'll be fine.
The professor got away."
"So are you going to tell me where you are or not? And who were those people shooting at us? A hit squad from some government, or just another group of competing psychos?"
"I don't have time to explain," Quentin said.
"But don't listen to what Interpol is telling you. You know me too well to believe any of that.
Tell me where you are," Nick said.
"Goodbye, son."
The call ended. Nick stood there under the street lamp, staring at his phone, until an idea came to him. And suddenly he wasn't so tired anymore.
On the other side of the building, Kate was on her own call. "I told you to watch your partner," Special Agent in Charge Carl Jessup said. "I told you to make good decisions. Your career is dangling by a thread, Agent O'Hare."
Kate nodded in silent acknowledgement. She wondered how she had ended up in this London back alley in the middle of the night. A dozen of the Crown's finest officers were combing through both floors of the pub. The three dead intruders were not yet identified. Former SAS Captain Richard Duckworth was in surgery to repair a partially collapsed lung. The professor was probably still out there running.
"I thought returning fire was a good decision, sir," Kate said.
"What were you doing there anyway?"
"Following Nick, just like you instructed."
From there, Kate knew it would only get worse. Like an immediate one-way ticket home worse.
"Nick tricked me," she thought. "He lied to me and the SAS major. And then, in the moment of truth, he went off to find his own father. He didn't trust me to help him."
"This supposed pub, what is it really?" Kate asked, a game effort to change the subject.
"Two hidden staircases and a secret second-story room? Quentin Fox, a professor and an ex-military man who just happens to have a loaded gun?"
"I haven't heard anything yet," Jessup said. "But it's obviously something because everybody at the CIA is doing a great job of playing dumb. I'll keep digging. But right now I need both of you back here in Rome. After I debrief you, I'm going to personally put you on a plane to Los Angeles and sit right between you. Kiss your 2 days goodbye."
Kate looked up to see Nick coming down the alley, waving to her.
"Sorry.
Call you back," she said, and ended the call.
"We need to go," Nick said.
"They're not done asking us questions here."
"Since when do you care about obeying the authorities?"
"I'm dead serious," Kate said. "Do you realize what I had to do here? How close I got to being killed myself?"
"I'm sorry, Kate. I really am. But I think I know where we can find my father."
Kate stared straight ahead, not looking at Nick. They were riding on a late-night train from London to Paris.
"I'm going to spend the rest of my career in a cubicle because of you," she said, breaking the silence. "I mean, I really put myself out there this time."
"I'm sorry," Nick said. "I'm not sure my father knows how much trouble he's in. Before you arrived, I overheard them talking about a German banner that got put on a tower during the war, and cutting the cables to the lift so nobody could tamper with it. If I remember my history, that has to be the Eiffel Tower."
"You think that's where he's going next?"
"It's a guess, but I think it's a good one."
They had just entered the Channel, the 31-mile underwater tunnel that ran beneath the English Channel. The train would go 400 feet below the channel surface and another 250 feet below the seabed. It was the kind of thing that would make both of them claustrophobic if they thought about it for too long.
"Never mind your father's trouble," she said. You're 1 inch away from having your deal revoked, which means going to prison.
It's my father, Kate. You wouldn't think twice about going to prison for your father.
Kate leaned her head back on her seat and groaned. It was true.
Fine, she said. We'll go to Paris and find your dad. But if you ditch me one more time, I swear I will hunt you and your father down like a badger after a couple of squirrels.